So today, I want to talk about a couple things, and first thing I want to talk about, I should title this sermon, Things I Never Knew and Just Found Out. I feel a little dumb about this, but Pastor Chip asked me if I would talk about next Saturday, June 19th. Anybody know what next Saturday, June 19th is? Speak up. Juneteenth. Yeah, Juneteenth is called Freedom Day. And I never heard of this until last year. Never heard of Juneteenth. And I think most people in America don't know what Juneteenth is. It is the day that slavery officially ended as a legal practice in this country. That is the day. Next Saturday is the day slavery ended in this country. The Emancipation Proclamation had been written by the president 2.5 years earlier, but it took up until 2.5 years, June 1st, which was just a few weeks ago, the 100th anniversary, when Texas was forced to release 250,000 slaves by the Union Army. President Lincoln had to send the Union Army down there and force them to stop allowing slavery. And so on that day, June 1st, 1865, I'm thinking I get this wrong here. Yeah, it's 1865, 2.5 years after the president issued this statement, slavery was finally abolished in this country. So why am I talking about this? Because I never heard of it. I never even heard of it until last year during the racial struggles that were going on in the summer. I was like, what? What are you talking about? Freedom Day, Juneteenth? I also never heard about what's referred to as the Tulsa Massacre, race massacre. That's the one that's 100 years old. Yes, that happened on June 1st, 1921. It is the worst massacre, racial massacre in our country's history. Over almost 300 black American citizens were murdered on this day by white supremacists and never prosecuted. And like, here's my concern. I never heard of this. Like, 13 years in private and public education, I never heard of this. I studied U.S. history every year like all of you did. 4 years of college, I took U.S. history 3 of those 4 years. Never heard of these two events. That is a travesty. That is a travesty. And of that, I'm ashamed. I'm sad, actually. I just think, wow, no wonder. So here's the thing. No wonder white people like me are so out of touch. I don't know the full story of half of this stuff. And I'm beginning to find out. And I'm thinking, wow, man, God help me. Because here's the deal. The more you know someone's story, the better you understand them. And for most of us, white people like me, I was ignorant, not necessarily on purpose. I just never was taught this, so I didn't know, and I didn't make any effort to find out up until last year. And all of a sudden, I'm reading books and talking to my black brothers and sisters and going, hey, what's it like? And I'm beginning to go, oh my gosh, you know what? The more I listen and the more I learn, the more I understand their perspective, and the more I can have compassion on different things they do and say. You know, the thing is, Juneteenth might be something that can help us next Saturday, because the African American community will be celebrating next Saturday. They're celebrating the end of slavery in this country, and most of us don't even know that, but we ought to at least take an opportunity to admit that this day might remind us there's a whole lot we don't know. Humble yourself and say, I don't know a lot of what's gone on, and I probably should find out. It's actually a state holiday. It's a state holiday in Ohio, and it will be a paid state holiday, probably officially starting next year, and probably moving into a federal holiday, banks, everything closed. Honoring the day that slavery officially ended in this country. So I'm mentioning it to you. Pastor Chip asked me to. I said I'd be glad to. And I humbly admit to you, I had no idea up until last year this stuff. But I am learning. I'm truly learning. And I'm trying to be a better person for it. So that's the first thing I didn't know anything about. You want to know the second thing I didn't know anything about? Are you ready for this? This is shocking. I did not know up until just a few weeks ago that there is a group right here in Central Ohio that is teaching the Bible in public schools. Yep, yep. It's legal. It's legal. And like probably all of you here, I had the thought, that must not be legal. Is that legal? I knew that the Bible could be taught in the public schools if it was taught as literature. I did not know you could teach the Bible in public school as the Word of God with the gospel as the central theme, uncompromised. It is legal. And, oh wait, by the way, it's not only legal, I just found out it's being done in 8 school districts in Ohio, and by this fall, will be taught in another 10 school districts, including Whitehall and New Albany. New Albany. So, since I just found out, and I'm retired and have nothing else to do in my life, I contacted them and said, I want to do this with you guys. So I'm in on this. I am in on this. And I want to get this done. I want to get this done in the Reynoldsburg schools. And then once I get that done, I'm going to join up with them and go like Buzz Lightyear, infinity and beyond. Let's get Pataskala, Pickerington. Let's get them all. Their goal in by 2025 is to be in 1,000 school districts in the U.S. 1,000 school districts. First step, they will not work with me unless I can show them that there's broad community support, like the people who either work in Reynoldsburg or go to school in Reynoldsburg, do business in Reynoldsburg. If people who are like that will sign on that paper that's in your bulletin and say, I think this is a good idea, we should do this. If I can get, they told me I only need 50 signatures, I want 200. I don't know why. Sometimes I wonder why I do things. But anyway, I want 200 signatures, and I'm asking you to help me. I need your signature. If you think it's a good idea, all you're doing is signing that piece of paper, drop it off at the next step on your way out. You can sign up online. You're just saying, I think this is a very good idea. You will not be arrested for this, okay? You're not going to be prosecuted. You're not going to lose your job. What will happen is once I get that 200, I will contact you with an email and say, hey, I got my number, and I'm wondering if any of you are interested in actually working with me because I need to put a committee together, and then the people from LifeWise will walk me through this step, how to get this done. This is outstanding. This has been a dream of mine for so many years. I just never knew how to do it. Now I know how to do it. Now I'm going to do it. I'm asking you to help me out. Sign that paper. Take an extra one out of the off the table in the foyer. People can do this online. If you want to find out more about these people, just go online. They've got YouTube videos. They're on Facebook. They are everywhere. You can find out how they do this, the process. It is outstanding. So, yep, help me out. Sign up. Put that signature on there. Say, I think this is a good idea. Let's get her done. It doesn't matter, Jeannie, except that won't help me, but they'll save that because on the thing it says, what school district? They'll save that and start building a group for that school district. So I need work in Reynoldsburg, live in Reynoldsburg, do business in Reynoldsburg, any of those three, and then that helps me. I'm going for 200. I'm going to get this done. We're going to teach the Bible as God's word in the public schools. Is that awesome, man? Wow. Woo! I'm fired up about that. I have one more thing I just learned about, and this is today's sermon. And I don't have to say I feel dumb about this. I feel dumb about not knowing about Juneteenth, and I feel a little dumb about never hearing about LifeWise. But this one, this is I'm learning from firsthand experience what a knee replacement is. Anybody here, raise your hand. Anybody here have a knee replacement? How many people? I see one. Let me see. I see two. I see three. I know there are four, yeah. There's probably a dozen in this church that have had knee replacements. And I had no idea what this was about. I knew it was a major operation. Actually, I'm just learning this week more stuff about knee replacements. Like I just read this week that people, 80% of the people, it's my left knee, 80% of the people who get their knee replaced won't ever kneel on it. 80% won't ever kneel on it. Not because it hurts, not because of anything, just because of mental. It's just creepy. And I'm trying to learn how to kneel on it. It's creeping me out, but 80% won't ever kneel on it. And the other thing I'm just finding out, this is crazy, but as I walk, I hear it clicking. Stupid knee clicks. Anybody who had knee replacement, did your knee click? Yeah, see, Cheryl's does. Yeah, click, click, click. Oh, stinking, driving me crazy. But I guess after a while, they just say you become numb to it or something. But you know, here's the thing. I know they tried to prepare me before the operation. They gave me a book to read. They gave me a video to watch. They talked to me on the phone. I had two pre-operation visits, one with the doctor, one with the physical therapist. I mean, they went through the whole process, really tried to prepare me. But I do have to tell you, you know, as a matter of fact, maybe I should ask another question. How many here are thinking of having a knee replaced? Anybody here thinking of having a knee I see Steve back there. Yeah, probably if you're thinking about it, you might want to leave. Just, I love you, man. I'm just trying to help you because what I'm about to talk about is not pretty. But anyway, I just wasn't prepared for this operation, man. I was not prepared. And I'm telling you, the first 2 weeks were brutal. They were brutal, man. It was like I was in a fog. I couldn't walk. My knee was swelled up. I couldn't sleep. No matter what I did, I was extremely uncomfortable. But here's the thing I want to talk about this morning. I'll tell you what people have asked me, well, what was the problem? And were you in pain? And no, I was not really in pain. This is the wonder of medicine today. I didn't really have any pain at all. You just take those cool pills they give you, man. Life is good. You don't have to worry about pain. I didn't really have any pain. I'll tell you where my struggle was. My struggle was in my head. I had to fight thoughts like, you really made a mistake, Dave. This swelling is never going to go. You're never going to walk right again. You ruined your life. You're messed up. This is bad. The doctor made a mistake. I mean, I'm trying to walk in this walker, and I'm hearing these thoughts in my head. And I'm telling you, when you start hearing thoughts like that, you're going down a dark tunnel. I mean, I was going down a dark tunnel. And I'll tell you what saved me. Is people spoke encouraging words to me. And I don't think any of you knew what I was going through in my head. But I want to talk this morning about the power of an encouraging word. You have no idea the impact that can have on a person. It totally helped me through this process. People would text me or call me. Some of you visited me. And you would say things like, you're going to be okay, Dave, it's all right. Especially those who had the knee operation. You know, there's something cool about people who've gone through a trial that you're going through. You know, there's something cool about when they've gone through it, they can tell you, hey, you're going to be okay. You kind of respect that, you know. And so people would say, yeah, I had the knee operation. I know the first couple weeks, you're going to make it. You're going to be okay. And then I would go to the physical therapist. And there'd be people in there from all stages of recovery, from just having the operation like me and kind of, you know, barely moving to people walking around, no canes. And, you know, we'd talk and they'd go, yeah, I had my operation 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago, 10 weeks ago. You're going to be okay, man. Don't worry. You'll make it. You'll make it. And I'm telling you, that got into my spirit. Because here's the thing. I think you'll agree with me. When you are going through a struggle, your mind becomes an open door. And when that door is open, anything that people say goes into your spirit and becomes your reality. That's a fact. So if someone says to you, you can do this, and you're going through this financial struggle or relationship struggle or health issue, and you're just in a fog, and someone says, you're going to be okay. And they're not just saying it, they really mean it. Your spirit is open. It goes into your spirit. That really, really helps you. It becomes your reality. I mean, I've had this happen to me numerous times, but this knee operation kind of woke me up to it again. I remember years ago doing the triathlons, and we had our first one here at the church, and, you know, I trained at the Y. I was doing Saturday indoor triathlons, and, you know, you, the triathlon, you you swim first, then you bike, then you run. And so day comes for the event, and it's hot, and we're doing a triathlon. I do the swim. I'm tired. I do the bike. We're biking from Buckeye Lake. We get here, I drop the bike. I start running. Man, my legs are killing me. And I run that mile and a half out, and we turn around. We're coming back, and I'm about, I don't know, half a mile from the church, and I am beat. I mean, I'm beat. And I'm hearing in my head, Dave, just would you just stop? Would you just stop right now? I'm hearing his voice in my head, and I'm thinking, I am so tired. I am so tired. And then I'm thinking, I'm just going to lay down. I'm thinking that thought. And then I'm thinking, I'm going to lay down on the road. I just you become stupid, you know. Just stuff just messes your head up. And I'm coming up this last hill, and then I hear in my ear people from the church who kind of came down a little bit, and they were going, come on, Pastor Dave, you can do it. I hear my daughter Hannah go, come on, Dad, you can do it. And it was like, I'm so vulnerable, it just got into my spirit, and I thought, oh, okay, I guess I can do it. And I just ran and finished. Now, of course, I didn't set any records for, you know, for time, but I'm telling you, when you're going through a struggle, when people speak, we need to be really careful, because you have no idea what they're hearing in their head. And there is so much power to your words. There's so, it's not magic. This is just real life. So I want to read two Proverbs to you this morning and just talk a little bit about it, because this is so powerful. And what I like about this, you all can do this. You know, this is really cool. You can do this. You know, when you think about living an important life, a life that makes a difference, I mean, everybody wants to, we all want to live a life that makes a difference, right? I see everybody else who God is using. You see the TV preachers, and you see people who are making very successful in business and the impact they're having. You see singers and musicians. You see athletes. You go, man, God, you're using all them. You know, you see people who are better husbands, better wives, better parents, you know, and you go, I just want to be used by you, God. What we're going to talk about here this morning is for all of us. Everyone here can do this. And here's the cool thing. You don't have to have a big education. You don't have to have a lot of money. You don't have to go to meetings. You don't have to be trained. It would be helpful if you had the Holy Spirit active in your life, because I think the Holy Spirit's very active in this. But you can all participate in this. So let's read a couple of Proverbs here this morning. First one is in chapter 16. Chapter 16. And it is verse 24. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. Pleasant words are like honeycomb. This is talking about speaking encouraging words to people, pleasant words. Now, maybe just for definition, let me help you out what I mean by encouraging words. The reason I need to help you out is because I coached Little League with my kids for 10 years. And I would cringe when I hear what parents would say to their kids. Come on, man, pick that up, hustle, run faster, you can do better. Come on, pay attention. Those are not pleasant words. All right? I know you mean well, dad, mom, spouse. Telling your spouse or your child, you can do better, try harder, come on, let's do better. I know you mean well, but that's not the pleasant words that we're talking about here. Pleasant words are things like, good job, nice hustle, good swing, nice kick, good shot, nice catch. Listen, anyone can be a critic. Anyone can be a critic. But to speak pleasant words, you got to pay attention, and you got to observe and look at what's going on and find something you can encourage that person with. It takes a commitment, but man, pleasant words are like honeycomb. They change a person, their health to their bones. There's so much research being done on this, the power of an encouraging word. I read a story of a piece of research done on college students a while back. They tried to see the power of an encouraging word on job performance. Just wanted to see job performance. They took 10 students, separated 10 rooms, gave all 10 a very difficult puzzle to do, and said, we're going to give you a limited time to do it. So they all started doing the puzzle. After just a couple of minutes, way short of what it would be to get it done, after just a couple minutes, they went in, and they randomly picked five students, and said to them, wow, you were one of the, you got the almost the most, you're like one of the best. How the heck did you do that? They just randomly encouraged them and commended their work. Whether they got one piece of the puzzle done or 10, they just go, you are incredible. And then the other five random ones, it didn't matter how much they got done, they said, you're probably in last place. You suck, man. You're a toad. What the heck is wrong with you? Did you hear the instruction? I mean, they just criticized them. Gave the 10 another puzzle, did the same thing. After just a couple minutes, cut them short, looked at the work, the five they had encouraged, and looked at the work of the five they had criticized. All five that they had encouraged outperformed the five they had discouraged. All five. It made an impact on job performance. They just felt better and worked harder. It changes you. There's so much power to your words. And if we would just embrace that and realize, wow, man, I can be a part of this. I can change a person's job performance. I can change thoughts they have in their head. I don't know what they're thinking, but right now, if I speak these encouraging words, they may embrace them as their reality, and that may turn things around. They may not quit right now. You know, there's people sitting here that are hearing voices in their head like I heard about 5 months ago, and they're hearing voices like, you can't do this. Give it up. Are you crazy? You're messed up. You don't have the skill. You're not smart enough. Don't try. They're hearing those voices in their head today and yesterday. And you happen to bump into them and see them, or this is where I think the Holy Ghost comes into play. I think the Holy Ghost is very active in this, and he might inspire you just to say, hey, you ought to give so-and-so a call today. You ought to jot them a note, send them a text, send them an email, go visit them, give them a gift, whatever. That's the Holy Ghost. That's part of that relationship with God, and as you begin to recognize that, you're going, oh my gosh, that's God speaking to me. And you may, again, you may not know what they're going through. Just, hey, just want to let you know, appreciate you. Great thing you did last week. Thank you. Helpful, whatever. You're a good person. You're a winner. You're a champ. Whatever. You speak those encouraging words, and you become part of the work of God. I'm going to finish up here with one more proverb. This is another one. It's just a chapter or two later. This is 18, Proverbs 18. Verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. How do you like that? You have within you the power to speak life or death. And again, you don't have to be a special person to do this. Sometimes you can do this unknowingly. Like this is a true story I read a couple years ago. A husband and wife, their name was Johnson, and Mr. Johnson went for his annual physical checkup, and after a while, after he had left, Gladys was her name, she gets a phone call from the doctor. Gladys, he goes, get to the hospital right away. Your husband had a heart attack while we were doing the physical exam. Hurry up. She freaks out, drops the phone, runs out the door. Doesn't even remember she hung up the phone, gets in the car, speeds to the hospital, gets to the hospital, runs to her husband's room, and as soon as she enters the room, she just loses it, man. She sees tubes everywhere, monitors, squiggly lines, beeping noises, humming. She just starts sobbing, and she says to the nurse, how is he? The nurse says, not good. He's not responding at all. She drops to her knees. She's sobbing. She takes his hand in her hand. She's, I love you. She goes, I need you. You gotta recover. Puts her hand on her forehead, and she's praying for him. She says, you have to get better. You have to get better. I'm hearing something. Miguel, it's something.
Anyway, she all of a sudden she hears, "Mrs. Johnson, what are you doing?" And she jumps up. It's the doctor. It sounds like he's yelling at her. She says, "I'm praying for my husband." He goes, "Your husband's in the other room." She was so embarrassed. This is a true story. She's so embarrassed. She gets up and she's walking out the door and she says, "I'm so sorry." She said, "I hope I didn't disturb the man." And he said, "Don't worry about it. He's been unresponsive for weeks, man. He probably didn't even hear you." So she goes and visits her husband. The next day, she goes back to the hospital. Now listen to this. She walks past the room where the other guy was. His bed is empty. His bed is empty. She says to the doctor, "What happened?" He said, "Weirdest thing. Soon after you left, he came to, and we're running tests on him right now. He keeps saying some angel visited him yesterday and told him he had to get better." That's the truth. It's a true story. So here's a lady who spoke life into a stranger she didn't even know. And he heard it in his spirit somehow, man. He got in. The guy recovered, man. I mean, you have this power within you. Everybody does. Matter of fact, do me a favor. Just touch your neighbor and say, "I can do this." I know that's not COVID correctly, but, you know, elbow. Touch your neighbor. Again, if you can't touch your neighbor, look at me and say, "I can do this." Say, "Pastor Dave, Pastor Dave, I can do this." You can do this. You can do this. You can do this. So in summary, here's what I want to say. Never underestimate the power of an encouraging word. Never underestimate the power of an encouraging word. This week when you're out and about, just notice people. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You see somebody, try to at least recognize them by name. You get an inspiration to call somebody, call them. It takes, I guess I would just say, a love for people and a desire to live a meaningful life. But this power lies within every one of us. You have the power. You have death and life and the power of your tongue. You can transform a person's life. I thank you, those of you who encouraged me, those notes, emails, texts, whatever it was. I'm telling you, it just pushed me to get through this, man. And I want to be a part of it as well. So let's close in prayer. Father, thank you that you have given us this incredible ability to speak pleasant words. And I pray, God, that we would see the opportunities, take advantage of them, recognize that they may be going through something we don't even know, but that we could be a part of their healing and recovery. God, thank you for people in our lives that speak encouraging words. God, that is so helpful. Thank you. Thank you, God.